Welcome to another Scouting Post podcast. This is Kirk Ludeke, Scouting Post founder and host, all-around good guy. Well, I don't know about that last part, but hey, I want to thank everybody for tuning in for the season, for supporting the blog, for all the traffic. It's been awesome. It's hard to believe we're practically on the eve of the 2016 NHL entry draft. When I started this blog back in July, we were still pretty focused in the aftermath of 2015, but here we are, a year later. Bruins are looking at the same pick they had entering the 2015 draft, which was 14 overall. As we know, a year ago, they traded Dougie Hamilton, and Milan Lucic ended up with bookends at 13 and 15, took three players in a row. I'm pretty sure that I can say that will not happen this year. But the purpose of this podcast is in 15 minutes or less, I'm going to give you one last recap of the Boston Bruins situation as we enter Buffalo, talk a little bit about what I think they need, and then we're going to go through and we're going to talk about options at pretty much each draft position and just kind of let the chips fall where they may. So let's get after it, shall we? So as we enter the draft, we're looking at the Bruins in a situation where, once again, they just missed the NHL playoffs, which means they're picking at a spot that is not ideal. Now, the good news is there's a pretty deep draft at the top, so it certainly appears that they're going to get a good player at 14. Question is, who's that going to be? I think at this stage, it's pretty fair to say that they are looking at a value and a need-addressed selection at that spot. There's a very good chance that whomever they pick is going to represent the best of both worlds for the Bruins scouts. They are headed by Chief Scout Keith Gretzky. When he played, he was the good one. Obviously, he needs no further formal introduction as Wayne Gretzky's brother. But he's been scouting a long time, and prior to joining the Bruins, he was the Arizona Coyotes Chief Scout. Don Sweeney will ultimately make the call, but Gretzky is all about empowering the Boston scouts, and they've been logging the miles on the ground through snowstorms and blizzards and ice in the air. I've seen them in the rinks. Certainly at Grand Forks, they had a pretty substantial contingent there, which is good news. It means that they probably had some pretty in-depth discussions at their scouting meetings, their final meetings. And the more scouts you can get involved in the process and talking about the various players, the better. So I think the Bruins are certainly positioned to make some good choices. Now, the big question from the fan standing and point of view is, you know, will those players make sense based on the typical public lists that are out there? And that is the challenge. Because as you all know, lists vary, and we don't know what is on the 30 NHL team lists, and unless we have access, personal access to inside sources, we never will. So all fans really have to go on is what's out there in public. So should the Bruins go off the board and choose some players that are projected a little later on, perhaps, I'm sure we're going to hear about it. And if they end up with players that are projected, then we'll just have to see how those guys turn out. And then obviously, it always seems that when players are rated a little higher on the public list and they fall, the tendency is to declare the team an instant winner. We'll see what happens with Boston. So they're picking 14. I don't think they're going to move up. I've talked about it earlier. It's all about assets. Right now, the Bruins are in a bit of a pickle where there's a very good chance that they might try to trade for some talent on defense, coming off of an NHL roster somewhere. So that's going to cost. You have to give to get, and add to the fact that other GMs know Don Sweeney needs a defenseman, so the asking price is going to go up. So in all likelihood, chances of them moving up, while I wouldn't rule it out, I don't think it's likely. I think the Bruins probably believe that they can stand pat at 14 and still get a pretty good player. So drum roll, please. Okay, no sound effects. You guys heard the OHL podcast. I didn't do very well with that. So I think we're looking at a couple of guys here that really stand out, and I've talked about them before, so I won't spend too much time, but Dante Fabbro, Charlie McAvoy. Fabbro's a BCHL, a player with the Penticton Vs, just a really high-end hockey mind, good character kid with the intangibles, has a lot going for him, really like him, and he is headed to BU. Whereas Charlie McAvoy was there as a freshman, began the year at age 17, turned 18 in December. Really fine skater, pushes the pace offensively. I think I've said that for every scouting report, but it really bears mentioning because that's important. Not only important in the offensive end when you're backing defenses up and putting players on their heels and tacking into the teeth of a defense with your speed and forcing them to give up the blue line because they can't stack you up. It's also key in puck retrieval, and McAvoy's good. Just needs to work on the decision-making, I think, but a lot of scouts feel like he is a player who could really come out, bust out. His offensive numbers were quite good for a freshman. Didn't score a lot of goals, but by the end of the season started shooting the puck with a lot more authority and had a lot of assists, and Coach Quinn has a lot of time for him. So McAvoy looks good, and he would make sense there. Jake Bean is another defenseman. He is a left shot, but 24 goals for the Calgary Hitmen, set a team record. Just a very dangerous offensive defenseman, sees the ice like a field general, can really diagram plays, see lanes opening up, make the tape-to-tape passes, and I think his defense is better than he gets credit for. He would be good there. One player who I haven't talked about a lot, but it wouldn't completely surprise me to see the Bruins opt for him here, assuming he was available, is a center from the Ontario League named Mike McLeod, plays for the Mississauga Steelheads. He is a Bruins-type player in that he's got pretty good size. He's about 6'1 or so, maybe about 6'2. That's debatable, but he skates really well. Good fluid stride and speed. He has the hockey sense and vision and instincts to anticipate. So a lot of times he'll explode and change direction because he just thinks the game so well. And as Dominic Tiano and Reed Duffy said in the OHL podcast, he's an excellent three-zone player, a very good playmaker. Would like to see him shoot the puck more and score more goals. That's kind of the question. And to be honest, I kind of see him as a third-line centerman. But he does have top-two-line upside. And so at 14, McLeod represents pretty good value. The question is, will he go around 11, 12, or will he still be on the board, and who else is there? And will the Bruins opt for a right-shooting defenseman, which is what McAvoy and Fabreau are, or will they get a center who represents more of a luxury? We'll find out. Skipping on ahead to the 29th pick, it's kind of hard to envision who the Bruins are going to select here. You know, they would have had the 18th selection. San Jose, though, did not do them a solid, went all the way to the Stanley Cup final before bowing out to the Pittsburgh Penguins. And as a result, you've got a project option here. Don't be surprised to see the Bruins trade it, but if they hold on to it, I think we're looking at a Markus Niemelainen, as you saw in my mock draft projection. This is a 6'5 Finnish defenseman who can really skate, only posted 5 points for the Saginaw Spirit, but boy, he wasn't really used much, and as Don pointed out in the podcast, averaged about 13, 14 minutes, which is hardly any, and really criminal considering the tools this kid showed at the under-18s. I think he's scratching the surface, could be a lot more. Another player you could see the Bruins opt for, especially if they take a defenseman with the first pick, is a forward, and a guy that is certainly generating buzz and has worked his way into the 29th spot on other mock drafts out there is Wade Allison. Tri-City Storm forward, very talented right wing, heavy on the puck kind of player. Seems to have the off-ice stuff together. You know, we'll find out. It would be a bit of a surprise. He's not projected. I think the highest I've seen him projected on the public list is 36. He's mostly in the 50s, but not beyond the realm of possibility, especially when you figure that Cam Neely talked about getting heavier on the right wing. Now, if the Bruins trade the 29th, we're looking at they'll pick somewhere between 31, 38, 39, somewhere, and that could be anyone. Looking at 49, some players I think are in their wheelhouse would be Team USA, National Team Development Program defenseman Ryan Lindgren. This is a player who is not really exceptional in any one ability, but he's a jack of all trades in that he's very good at everything. But I just like his compete and the way he really hustles, and he's gritty, and he doesn't have great size, but he's so smart and just finds ways to make plays. I thought he was one of the best defensemen at the under 18 personally, and really impressed with him. And overall, I think has a lot of long-term potential. Other players we might see at 49, you know, I could see the Bruins maybe taking a look at someone like Timmy Gettinger, excuse me, of the Sioux Greyhounds. Huge toolsy forward. Again, we're talking about getting heavy. So if someone like Wade Allison is not available, they don't get him at 29 and he comes off the board in the first, you know, 30 selections, you know, Timmy Gettinger could get it done for them. He's another one that's probably scratching the surface of his potential. Didn't quite come together as consistently as they would like, but you can't teach his size, and he does have some ability. Now, here's where it gets interesting, because the Boston Bruins, after 49, are simply not picking, unless they manage to pick up an extra selection via trade, until 135. They have two back-to-back picks in the fifth round of the draft after having no selections in the third or fourth rounds. That's because they traded them for John Michael Lyles and Lee Stempniak. Now, at 135 and 136, it's really hard. You're essentially throwing darts right now. You're talking about project guys. At this stage, you're thinking that maybe some of the older players that have been previously passed over but have been rising would appeal, and they would, because the fact of the matter is, the older and the more mature someone is, the more there is a chance that that individual will be ready a little sooner rather than later versus the standard 1998-born 18-year-old players in this draft class. So I think once you get to the fifth round, you're looking at guys like Jack Walker, who I blogged about a little earlier, had a tip that the Bruins were kind of seen in Victoria Royals games, looking at him. He's a Minnesota player, a former defenseman, converted forward, can really skate, scored 36 goals, and he's a 96. So you're talking about a 20-year-old, he'd be able to go to Providence right away and not have to stay in junior. Or he could go back for an overage year, depending on where the Bruins are. We're looking at a guy like maybe Cameron Clark. This is a defenseman who was playing hockey in Fort Worth, Texas, of all things. And what was cool is every time the Lone Star Brahmas would score a goal at home, they would fire up the Let Me Clear My Throat, DJ Cool song, after every single goal. And the fans would throw little rubberized Brahmas, which are bulls, out on the ice. Now, we saw a game that was 7 or 8 goals scored by the Brahmas, so that gets pretty tedious. But credit to the fans, it's a fun place to play. Now, as for Clark, he is about 6'2", very lanky, you know, slow to physically mature, but he's got a good head and he's patient and he moves the puck really well. He's someone that could potentially be an option, you know, in the fifth or sixth rounds. As we get, you know, further on down the line, I mean, it gets harder and harder to project who some of these late round picks are. I think the Bruins are going to tend to go for maybe some boom players. For example, maybe an Etu Tulola. Would be interesting if Timothy Wahlgren is available. This is a Swedish forward who really exploded in the under-18s and scored quite a few goals for the Swedes after what was a pretty mediocre year overall that didn't inspire much interest among scouts. Certainly caught the attention of scouts in Grand Forks. Wahlgren wouldn't be a bad late-round option. But at the end of the day, you know, the Bruins they've got some late picks, and you know at this point they'll did their homework. I'm sure they've got some lower end guys they're in on, and they'll make those picks, and we'll just see how it goes. The thing to remember is even in a draft that is considered weak on the lower end, like this one, in every draft class it's had weak years. You know, on paper up front, you're always finding values later on. There's always late bloomers and latent talent that emerges. And ultimately, I have to think the Bruins have identified some of those guys, and they have a chance to maybe make some hay late. But really, at the end, this draft is all about what they're going to do on the top end. Don Sweeney knows he has to mold and shape that offense and that defense, excuse me, and the offense too. The implosion for the second year in a row was troubling, so they've got some work to do to address the NHL talent up front, But the draft is so critical in terms of landing those entry-level contract players that can be impactful and make a difference to offset those higher veteran salaries. So I'm at $14.50, and I'm going to close this out. But be sure to follow me on Twitter at @kludeke, L-U-E-D-E-K-E 2-9. And thanks for the support on the blog. I am out of here. I will see you in Buffalo.